Hello everyone, we are back. This is just a friendly reminder that although we will begin with audio from Mike, we will not end with it, nor will we have it for the next several sessions. However, it will be back in the future, so feel free to look forward to that. At any rate, I hope you enjoy the continuation of our zany Rifts adventures.
Guys, gals, and non-binary pals, welcome to that D&D podcast. I am Zach, he, him pronouns, and I will be your explainer bear for the evening. Welcome to that deep cut. We are back in the saddle playing some riffs, and we're going to see what these just weirdos get up to tonight. It's going to be great. I will let my players introduce themselves now.
Hi everybody, I am Jonathan, he, they. I'm playing Tinkerbell, who is totally a fairy and not some kind of juiced up dragon rage monster. And I definitely didn't draw the comparison to the gang has a moral quandary of Sunny. It's always Sunny, because that's totally not this group at all.
Hi, I'm Matt, he, they pronouns. I am playing Perdición. Who is totally a normal luchador and not at all a, 10-foot tall golem with several different protrusions sticking out of him. It's okay. It's fine. He definitely isn't going to absolutely smash through whatever vehicle you place in his way.
Hey everyone, I'm Adam, he, him. Today I will be playing Goro, the totally normal, not at all weird, four-armed giant mutant that just wants to give you a hug.
Hi, I'm Mike Jedarson Bird, he, him pronouns. I am playing Gug, the monster that everybody said they weren't. Gug is.
Yes, Gug is the moral center of the group, really, when it comes down to it, I think.
Every generation of Vernulias was born, striving to put right what once went wrong, hoping that each mission will be the mission home.
Right. See, I feel like if you use less judgmental words there, instead of right, I don't know.
Okay, so, who remembers what happened last time?
Somebody said something, something, something. I have to save them, but then there was this floor who needed to be broken. That's what happened.
Geese. There were geese.
No, that was the time before last time.
Yeah.
No, we had already fucked up some coalition guys going to a hotel like a Radisson or something like that?
Yes, yeah. The Kalamazoo Radisson, which turned out to be the secret off-site, black site holding place for the coalition's magical artifact research facility.
And for one?
Of which Dr. Tower, who the person who you giant air quotes rescued in the first session, was formerly an employee of, along with Bubbles, the teleporting stab monkey that was much less of an employee and more of a indentured assistant, let's say. Yeah, that was this facility. You came here with
the indentured with an indefinite term of whatever life you happen to live.
Yes. Turns out the Coalition made their own slaves. They're great people. Love them. They're awesome. You came here with Albert Deschain, who had intel from Dr. Tower that this is where it was, and his thinking is We got to get in there. We got to get this thing. We got to go see what's here before they burn it all down. Right?
Right. And then I murdered things out of the sky.
Yes. You guys messed up some Samus power armors and some sky bikes on the way in with various telekinetic trickery. We also had people tanking mini missiles. It was a whole lot. We got inside the building. There's still some coalition like zooming around outside, but they have not come inside because they saw what happened the last time. And Albert was trying to get in through an elevator. And he needed some time to do so when he got a call on the magical telecom. And the person on the other end was yelling things in the order of, "Albert, Albert, we need your help. They found us. It's all going to hell, Albert. You got to get over here now." And that was the point when Albert asked you for help opening the door. So, scene.
Yes. And as I was saying, there was this floor that I was saying had to go because it was supposed to go downstairs.
Okay.
So, yeah, Tink is going to continue doing that while people discuss what we should do.
All right. I like the discussion. I like the shot of like there's a discussion happening. Like because I remember Albert was messing with the control panel of the elevator, right? I imagine it's like a long shot that's focused like down the lobby, right? At Albert and whoever is like over by the doorways who heard this phone call or the radio communication, right? And helping Albert like open the doors. And then in between, out of focus, there's Tink. And you can see Tink, like, testing the floor gingerly with a hammer. Like, trying to find the best place to hinge the shit out of it. Right?
And I really want our, like, deep emotional discussion interspaced with loud, loud hammer.
Quang! Quang! Like, Raiders of the Lost Ark and that, like,
That's Last Crusade, and you're thinking of the library.
Last Crusade. Last Crusade. You're right. Last Crusade. Yeah. All right. So everybody who's here heard the radio. Albert is still like slightly frantically, but mostly methodically working to get this door open.
So, I'm sorry. I don't remember the door. Can someone refresh my memory?
The door is an elevator door, that opened up to reveal, like, a bank vault door, like a high security door, right? And okay. Albert is messing with the elevator, like, button panel, trying to get it to open via some sort of electronic trickery. It's unclear if he's using magic to do so.
Is there a reason I can't just cut the door open?
Not specifically.
Okay. So I vocalized the question. Does anyone mind if I just cut this door open?
Albert will sort of turn and look at you and look back at the door and then very like patronizingly dramatically step away and do the like after you sort of hand wave towards it.
Alright, I pop my blade and I just cut the shit out of it. Like, because I feel like it's like DR-100 or whatever, right?
It's pretty intense. They're pretty intense. It's pretty intense doorway. I don't know. Like, give me a... Just roll damage for your, like, brain saber. And in the background, you're starting to hear quang!
Sorry, for whatever reason, took a little bit for my sheet to load. Alright. Boom. Is that right?
There you go.
I like it.
All right, so that's... I'll give you the... So you got 15... So yeah, you make... you start to make some decent progress on this thing, right? Your Psi Sword goes through, but it's sort of like... It's that scene in Phantom Menace, right? As I just give you all of the movie references that live in my head. Where... with the lightsaber coming out through the security door, right? It doesn't happen immediately. They have time to panic, right? And the same thing's going on here. Like, you're back and over while you're doing that, and Albert's sort of watching you, trying to figure out if this is actually a solution. The over the radio, you hear the same female voice. God damn it, Albert, where are you?
How long is it going to take me to get through this door?
Couple of minutes.
What if we were to apply the combined strengths of a luchador golem and many armed Goliath?
I mean, are they going to be using you as, like, the hilt of the lightsaber? Like, I don't understand how that process works. So you're going to have to diagram this for me.
If needed, yes.
Okay.
Well, I just, like, all right, so we take the gif, or whatever it is, of the lightsaber cutting through that door, right? Like, you can start, like, pushing the thing open, right? You can start, like, hitting on the edge of the can.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, but what I'm picturing right now, does you know what a hole saw looks like?
Yeah.
You've got 8 arms, right? How many swords can you make? We just spin you really fast.
Oh, that's a good question. How many swords can I make?
I mean, I think technically you have to have like advanced that gives you another sword. So technically, I don't know that it works. I do really enjoy the mental image of Goro and Perdicione like picking you up and then just like twirling you at the door.
Like a 1900s can opener.
Yes.
Spin me. Okay? Spin me.
While that, like, weird, because it's gonna look like the weirdest, like, competitive cheerleader move in history, right?
I have never wanted a security camera to be capturing what's going on more.
Tink, you're doing what again?
Yeah, so remember, Albert, I think it was, started off saying we had to get down below. And I'm now firmly in the grasp of the, was that stubborn or whatever character flaw it was. I'm just literally trying to bash through the floor.
You find what you think is like, cause you're like supernaturally attuned to like the weak spots in materials, right?
Like, there's no ground under here. I can't slide through it.
Yes, exactly. You find what you think is, like, the structural center of this lobby, right? And you reel your hammer back. And there's some more crackling that comes over the radio. Albert's ignoring it. The sound is the voice is getting more desperate and the words are getting harder to understand. Tink brings his hammer down. Goro, before I do this, Goro and Perdicione, are you participating in this madness?
Because the idea is that we're supposed to get through the door, or we're trying to get through the door, or something, right? I mean, like, does there appear to be any sort of control for the door or anything like that we could try and screw around with?
Well, that's what Albert was working. Albert was like trying to rewire. He seems to have found a control panel thing behind the elevator like floor button panel. That's what he was working on before Gug moved him aside to begin cutting through the door with his brain. Outside, there are over the sound of essentially a brain plasma cutter being used on very, very thick metal. Outside, you can hear those Sky Cycle engines are sort of zooming around as though they're either trying to find an angle on you, or they are trying to move somewhere specific.
I think if he hears those, Perdicione might step out towards like the threshold of the hotel, the entrance, or like a portico or something like that.
Okay.
And see if he can get an angle on them with his rocket rifle.
Okay. Okay. They have moved to be up over the roof of one of the buildings, sort of on the other side of the square. But they are fair game for a rocket rifle if Perdicion wants to go, like...
If we take them out, then that's going to probably buy us more time.
At least a little bit, I would guess, yeah.
Yeah, so... Every second helps. And... Pew pew. That would be a 15 to hit.
That seems like a hit. Yeah. That's going to be a hit with a raise plus. Yes.
Love the, excuse yeah. me. Go blow up a try. Guy's like, oh.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. That's the first one because I have it's rate of fire 3.
Oh, Jesus. All right.
Okay, so that'll be a critical miss. I can't remember that, yeah. Unfortunately.
That one we just threw into a building for style reasons, right? That's how that works, that double zero.
He fires and stitches down, by yep. mistake. And then a 4, which should be a solid hit.
Let me check these guys real quick. I think they have a... While they're in the air, they're slightly harder to hit, if I recall.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Really sure. Give me just a straight d6 roll as well. Question. Yeah, there's a minus one penalty to attack rolls while they're in the air.
Okay, yeah. 3.
Okay, cool. So non-called shots... These things have a thing called the exposed crew, because they're just dudes on sky motorcycles, right?
So did I tag the guy?
So yeah, they got a 50 penalty shot. That's a 3. That's the first 50, right? It's a rocket, though, right? So it explodes?
Well, we're doing 14 damage.
Okay, well, yeah, that dude is toast. Is it an area weapon? Does it hit other people?
No, it's just like micro rockets, I think.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, that dude, you just like, I imagine the rockets sort of hit this dude in the chest and lift him up off the bike and sort of pinwheel him over the roofs of the buildings, and the bike's sort of kind of awkwardly falls out of formation with the other bikes and then careens into the roof below and crashes. Scram!
He starts adjusting his sights to do the next one, gets ready to take cover if he needs to.
Alright. These guys are going to, real quick, and now that they've realized there's a threat again, they're going to take a shot. Where are we at? I just had you open. Why did I close you? There we go. They're going to take a shot. They're going to fire a mini-missile down into the lobby. I know that we're not all, like, positioned on the map as though we're actually in the thing, so I will be...
Yeah, it's fine.
Be somewhat gentle here. First one's going to fire. That is a 7. For attack against, I guess, probably just Perdicion and whoever else is standing at the front, but I think everyone else is engaged in some kind of nonsense back here, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll hit. No, would not be a raise, though.
Yeah, okay, cool. And then damage is 11 AP8.
That'll shake him.
Okay. Alright. And then this other guy, he's going to attempt the same thing. He's going to let loose with some dual-linked light lasers. And that is a 5. Does that hit?
Yeah. I don't have any minuses to hit currently. I don't think I get any. Oh, I could do that at some point, but yeah. I don't have really the, whatchamagoof it. I don't have, a blur or anything like that up, so.
Okay.
I'm just standard.
Alright, so that's 8 AP10 with the lasers as he sort of strafes across you. In like a panic shot as his buddy just falls to his death behind him.
That'll do another wound to him, since he's already shaken.
Okay.
That's how that works, unfortunately. If you shake me again while I'm shaken, take a wound.
All right, cool. And then I will. And these guys are going to back off down across behind this roof because you clearly have the technology to kill them, and they do not like that very much.
Good. That's what I want them to do. I want them to stay nice and far away. You hear the explosion of the back. Perdition just rocks backwards. There's like a smoking crater in his chest.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, and like all of the glass from the front of this Radisson is like shattered and slag. They took out this hotel has been hosed down with plasma, essentially.
Jesus.
Alright, Tink, give me is it more appropriate to make you make some sort of strength roll or a damage roll to blow through the floor? I want you to give me a damage roll, and then I want to hear. Well, before I do that, so Goro, are you engaging in Operation Hole Saw?
I don't think I'm twirling Gug around, but I think I am trying to assist by providing like forced leverage against the opening, the ever widening opening.
Okay. 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 Cool. Cool. Give me strength. Give me a strength roll. We'll see how much work we can do here. Okay, that's a number.
Yes. A little bit.
That is a 20.
I mean, in my head there was a substantial penalty, but that's still a raise on top of it. So yeah, you managed to kick this this like arc that Gug has already cut, and you kick it open probably about a foot and a half. To where you can see through, and you now see that this door he's cutting through is about, like, 16 inches thick.
Oof.
Like, it's thick, right? But between his brain sword and your, like, gigantic boot, you cleared enough that you can look inside, and what you see is it looks like a lab/office setting, almost. And you can see what look like some automated defense turrets on the inside, but the lights are mostly turned off, and it looks to be completely uninhabited right as of this exact moment. Besides those, like, turrets that are going to shoot you when you go through that door.
No idea what you mean.
It's going to take a little... Yes, turrets. Turrets, as in mounted guns.
Is there any way to infer what sort of turrets they would be just from the look?
Yeah, what kind of skills you got there, Goro? That might apply to this.
Just a notice. I don't think I have anything, like, tech-wise.
Give me a notice. It's possible you've been shot by things before.
You know. I usually just ignore that stuff.
No, you haven't. You haven't. You got nothing. Yeah.
That's what the shields are for, so.
Getting shot is for losers.
It's true. Goro's not had to pay much attention to, like, technological ballistic weaponry before this point. So, now, this is the point where I am going to give, I'm going to give Tink a Benny.
Woohoo!
And then I'm going to have Tink roll damage.
This is going to be fine and good, and I'm sure everything will not cause or evict damage. Don't actually care about the skill dice. Remember, this is 4 higher? Did it do that? Oh, wow, that was... Wait, roll damage. Sorry, that was the attack roll. So, wow. That's 18, though, against items. Yeah.
Yeah, so with a plus 4 against objects, that is an 18. Yeah, so what happens now? I have a question. Would you like to activate your snake to nonsense?
Yeah.
You don't have to.
No, I'm totally
giving you the option not to.
Nope, doing that.
Okay. So here's what happens. Perdicion, you are standing sort of towards the front of the lobby, right? Yeah. Goro and Albert and I'm blanking on the name. Gug, local Snaketopus, are standing at the far end of the lobby, at the very back where the elevators are. Tink is sort of in the middle, that like zone that people have to pass each other as they walk by the desk, right? Mm-hmm. Tink raises his hammer up, activates his unknown Snaketopus magic in his Techno Wizard hammer, slams it into the floor, and the floor disappears.
Seems good.
Well, so you guys are all far enough away, I think, that you're fine.
Am I going to do a coyote? A wily coyote?
It's just Tink and, like, a 20 by 20 chunk of floor. Just the floor disappears. Tink is then standing over essentially nothing. What is the... Is it acrobatics? What is the don't get hurt while falling?
There isn't, as far as I know.
I think your toughness is pretty good, right? So what is falling damage? Is a question I should have asked myself before now.
I believe it's a d6 for every 10 feet.
Okay, that's not bad. That's not bad. That'll bounce right off, Tink.
I have to actually remember how damage works.
Yeah, no, that was nothing. Nothing.
That didn't even get through the base toughness thing, the unbreakable part.
Yeah, I mean, it's a basement. It's a Radisson basement. It's not that deep, right? In fact, here's what I'm going to say. What? Sorry? I don't know what you're talking about. There's no secret labs.
There's no secret labs in Bob.
I don't even know if this is a useful map right now. I just have it. There we go. Tink hits the ground.
Yes. Okay, I guess that some kind of skull oven.
Yes, some kind of skull oven. Correct. Tink lands like over here. We'll put Tink on that side. There is at this moment no one else down here, Tink.
All right.
That you can tell.
I
you get the vague idea that the doorway that the other people are trying to get through is in this direction over here, sort of to the bottom of the map, right? Oh wait, let's move this to the tokens layer. Yeah, that's where we're at.
All right.
Everybody else, the floor just... And there's like a scent of ozone, almost. Above and beyond the metal saw smell of what the stuff that Gug's been up to. And the, like, plasma... The plasma and napalm scents of, like, burning perdition. There's also this ozone tinge to the air now, and you don't know whether it's coming from below you or the effect of whatever the hell Tink just did.
Awesome. So Tink's gonna, like, just kind of stand up and, like, be, you know, whatever, I fell 20 feet. Looks at the hammer and just kind of, like, nods grimly. All right. And then he's gonna take a big, like, sniff through his nose to try to figure out what's magic around this area. That's how I picture him doing his detect magic bullshit.
Okay. Okay. Alright, yeah, give me whatever the rule, is it just perception? Like, what is the...
I think so, I have zero idea.
Alright, fine, give me perception. That's fine.
I guess it could be.
It's a thing you're pretty tuned to.
But
I mean, either way, you pick.
We'll go with a call. I think it's technically a little bit better. But.
Okay. Yeah, with a 6, this area does not have anything that's like... Well, so the area itself is pretty mundane feeling, right? You've been in places like this before. It's like unsatisfying pre-war construction, right? it's not made very well. It stood the test of time to this point, but, like, it was made as cheaply as possible, like 400 years ago.
Zero sense of geomagic style. right?
Yeah, it's just like incredibly utilitarian blocks on blocks on blocks, right? However, that pit in front of you, you catch some sort of magical emanation coming out of that, right? And then most of the other magic sense that you're picking up is definitely from like the bottom half of the map.
Okay.
Like in that general direction.
I'm definitely gonna can I not move that token? That's weird. I was gonna move my token over to the oven, vaguely glancing at the bodies on the floor if they're actually there.
Oh, they are. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, they fit with the whole milieu. Do they look recent or fresh or what?
No. Okay. These are, you don't know. You haven't really stuck around to watch, a human corpse decay. But there's not much left of most of these.
Okay.
Like, this is old stuff. Like, you know, stuff got pretty bad on this planet a while back. Before it got slightly better again.
Yeah.
And this looks like it might have been during that period.
Okay. But yeah, so I'm going to move and I'll take a look at the Pit of Skulls.
Okay. Well, that Pit of Skulls is not actually a Pit of Skulls.
Okay.
It is a pit, however. And that pit is radiating sort of incidental magic. As you look over the top, and you are a fey creature, right?
Are there leftover orphan souls in there or something?
Not quite. What there are is essentially used up disposable magic items.
Huh. Okay.
There aren't really potions. Like, there are potions and stuff in rifts, but most of the magic items that need recharge are either modern versions or techno wizard stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But these look like they're more, give me a common knowledge roll, or an occult. You can roll occult. You might know occult magic there.
You know, I keep closing my character sheet, and then I keep being asked to do things with it that is totally reasonable to play the game.
Yeah, you don't, all you recognize is like these, there's a bunch of like metal and crystals and like glass and like a feeling of the static electricity equivalent of magic, right? And like profound sense of loss. That's what you're getting. All right, let's switch back up to the top. Perdicion, your erstwhile combatants have not reappeared. Neither has the floor immediately behind you.
That D&D podcast is released under a Creative Commons 4.0 attribution, non-commercial, no derivatives license. Feel free to share with friends, but don't cut anything out and don't sell our work. Please visit us at thatdndpodcast.com or on Twitch or YouTube at thatdndpodcast. Intro music is Now We Ride, metal version by Alexander Nakarada. Outro music is Shadow Rain, also by Alexander Nakarada. Nakarada's music can be found on freestockmusic.com, on Bandcamp, and on creatorchords.com. Nakarada can also be found on YouTube and Patreon at anakarada. Rifts is a role-playing system published by Palladium Books. Savage Worlds and this game's Savage Rifts combination is owned and published by Pinnacle Entertainment. All other copyrighted content is owned by its associated copyright holder.